Ladies and gentlemen, Harmontown is once again in session. Oh, yes. Would you please be so kind as to bow down and worship the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Yo, 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 hip to the hop, got the best rap ever, got the best rap, got the best rap ever, gonna best rap, gonna rap, best ever, gonna rap to the best, gonna best rap ever, got the, what, start the rap now, gonna start the rap now, gonna rap about this, gonna rap, rap that, gonna rap town, gonna rap downtown, gotta, I fucked your mama, pop. I was trying really hard. I was just explaining to the cameras in the green room. I was like, okay, I got nothing. I'm not going to say fuck your mama. I want to scrape my brain like dry toast and just like, yeah, well, it didn't happen. I just rapped about rapping better. But that's a good first step. Like they say, if you want to quit drinking, first step is to go, I drink too much.
Was it the beat?
So I'm saying right now, I rap a lot about fucking your mama. Maybe next week it'll change.
Do you think the relationship...
No, that beat was badass.
Yeah, you like that one.
One was really good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Yeah, was there a banjo in there?
I don't know if there was a banjo.
I kept picturing Kermit the Frog like on a log, like fucking
yo, yeah, yo, 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 Kermit, yeah. Gonna catch the flies. I'm in a swamp now. Gonna Muppet fries.
I can't do it. I'm thinking too much about fucking people's mamas and like. I won't be able to do it. And it's let's not start the show cataloging my inadequacies. Let's talk about Christmas.
Woo! Yeah.
Santa Claus is here tonight. We got gay Santa Claus in the house.
You just look over and you see a very tired Cupid. Well, I thought it would never end. Wait, no, that comes after Christmas. Wait, God damn it.
You mean Cupid from Valentine's Day or Cupid the reindeer?
I was I was further confusing. I meant from Valentine's Day. Just edit it all out. This will probably be our Christmas show because we're like 7 weeks behind in terms of when we record and when we broadcast.
I don't listen to them. The master does his work and then steps away from it. Hard.
That's nice. The Tao Te Ching. Why is it? It seems like a bigger crowd tonight.
Maybe it's because Chevy Chase. No, I'm kidding. That was mean. That was just mean.
I told you guys he called back and he wanted to do it, but he couldn't do it. He was gonna.
Did you call him today? You said you were gonna call him.
I texted him. He couldn't do it. While we're at it, I also texted Bob Odenkirk. Okay, also cannot do it. Yeah. Also, Sid Caesar couldn't make it tonight. But hey, I fucked your mama, got the fucking mama, fuck mama. I fucked your mama Godzilla style. I fucked your mama all the while in the Sherman tile. Got a fucking mama, got the serpentine. Got a fucking mama all the live long time.
You got a new dance.
Wait,
there's a new dance. It's not just side to side. Now you got a front to back little kicky thing going.
It's the I'm afraid to look at the audience dance. Let's look at. I think I might have. Here's the thing. Like at the Pikey, I rarely do this, but I underestimated. I ordered too many drinks. I didn't calculate it right. So if I were a pilot and this were an airline, you should get off the plane. But you only paid $10, so I promise I will try not to make it awkward.
You didn't drink more than you would normally drink. You just did it too quickly?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because the service there was
so bad,
glacial,
so bad that when the guy came,
bad was it?
It was so bad that I kind of passive aggressively was like, "Yeah, I'll have two more and the bill." You know, you ever do that when you're like, "Well, these things take so long. Give me three now, and then they'll come like when I want them." And then they all came, and I was like,
But I have to admire the fortitude that you've showed by pouring yourself another one in the green room right before you walked out on stage.
That's just habit.
You know why? That's why.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's habit. It's not funny. I've been kind of stressed out. It's 6 days before Christmas. For me. On the 17th of December, Aaron McGathy and Rob Schraub and his girlfriend, wife, Kate Freund, and I leave for London. So December 17th, that's well after everybody shuts down in Los Angeles. And so it's December 10th right now, something around there. I have 6 days to write a pilot for CBS, a pilot for Fox, and pack. Gotta pack some fingerless gloves and research figgy pudding.
Aren't you the guy that was just boasting that you wrote Heat Vision and Jack in 36 hours?
Yeah, that was at a different, much more joyful time in my life. That was when I didn't know the rules of television. I don't know.
What are the rules of television, Dan?
Always be closing.
Right.
Think dog. Could there be a dog in it? And when possible, ask yourself like what would this be like according to Jim? I don't know what the rule. You called my bluff. Congratulations. I don't know how to write television. I never have. But
you got 6 days to write.
6 days to write two pilots.
Oh, there's a TV show. Dan Harmon's got 6 days. That's a movie. That's a movie.
But that's more of a Bravo, yeah. Like, maybe it'll be fun, but...
Don't look down at Bravo. You're going to be writing for Bravo one day.
You're going to be writing for Bravo January. Right when I come back. And Fox and CBS are like, "Hey, welcome back from London. What the fuck?" And I go, "Sorry, I got to go on tour." "Okay, well, we have two notes. You're fired and you're never hired again." "Okay, I'll address that." In Minnesota. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Christmas. I'm stalling. Saw the Avengers movie for the second time, but actually for the first time because I kept sleeping through it. Actually, I liked it a lot. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe not 92% Rotten Tomatoes liked it, but I like the Avengers. Okay, done. Also, I'm not going to roll into one that's gonna put a barrier between us. He's the second of three. Also, I was quite fond of the Total Recall remake. I thought it was, I don't know if you call it a remake or not, but whatever. It's starting to ruffle feathers. But I think it can coexist with the Verhoeven classic. They were both good. I liked watching Arnold run around Mars with the women with the three titties and give the people their air. And I also like watching What's-His-Name not know that What's-His-Name was not his wife and What's-Her-Name actually was. That's why my one note is all the women look the same. But I have what used to be called Asperger's, and which has now been removed from the diagnostic manual. I'm slightly autistic, so make one a redhead. If your movie has two women in it, always make one a redhead, or make a Maria Conchita Alonso or something. Now here's the point where we just, you know, we reach an impasse, and we'll work through it. I liked Cloud Atlas.
Huh?
right.
I would say Harmontown 50-50 on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So Total Recall, like, kind of was okay. I put that in the wrong order. I like Cloud Atlas. It's weird. Like, you're never more than 5 minutes in Cloud Atlas because there's a lot of, for those of you who haven't seen it, and I won't spoil anything. I don't know if it's possible to spoil anything. It's it ends revealing humanity is amazing and goes on forever into the stars. But if you think about it, that's what Green Eggs and Ham revealed. So no big row to hoe there. But Cloud Atlas, because their whole shtick is reincarnation, I'm assuming it's based on some book series that made a better meal out of this. So then it's time to commit it to film, and you know, like, well, we want to create the sense. So these people are being reincarnated, and that we're all kind of intersecting with each other and playing different roles in our lives. There's a lot of prosthesis, a lot of six actors, and then there's like, you know, Tom Hanks will be like hanging out as a fisherman going like, it's hard to catch this fish, and then like it'll go like Geneva 1814, and he's like playing a piano but he's got like a weird nose, and but then Halle Berry comes in, even though she worked on the fishing dock, but now she's like, you better compose that concerto right. Every time they come in, they have a different forehead, a different like they have zany zappers on, or like a weird chin. You're never more than 5 minutes in Cloud Atlas from going, what? And that's not what you're supposed to do. The Cloud Atlas, you're supposed to spend the whole time going, oh. But you're constantly going, what? Stop! Jump!
Would it have been more or less jarring to just cast different people in those roles?
But
us to catch on that was the reincarnated.
Well, you never would catch on because there's too much to tell about. I bet in the book, I'm sure you don't need rubber noses and the same actor to indicate to you that this person. I have no idea. Did anyone read the book or book series? We got one hand.
We have two gals here who have read the book.
All right. Is it? Well, whatever. I don't know what to ask.
Somebody gave me that book years ago, and I feel like it's true. Like, I liked not reading the book more than not seeing the movie. Yo, I made a joke. A joke about a book. Please resume, Dan.
No problem. If you want to say where, I have nothing to say. I don't know. That cat's out of the bag. Sorry I got you drunk tonight. I'm going to make it up to you.
You seem exactly as drunk as you are every Harmontown.
I guess I can tell. I don't know. I have nights where I'm like, they can tell. Like I project that onto, like, if I'm talking and I go like, hey, come on, it's Christmas. Hey, what's the deal with ornaments? And then I'll hear like a, oh. And then I'll go, she knows I'm drunk. She knows I'm too drunk. So I'm not going to look at her.
That was a guy. You pointed at the guy.
Drunk. Can't see anybody. It's all because of the waiter at the Pikey. Another interesting thing about the Pikey, if you're a local, we can edit this out because right. Who in Boston's going to care about this? But go over to the Pikey. It's kitty corner-ish from here.
Yeah. Used to be the Coach and Horses.
Used to be the Coach and Horses, and then it turned into this place. The big highlight for me is alternate timeline skeevy Jeff Davis works there. There's like a guy, if you ever go in, he wears like these beige suits, and he looks a lot like Jeff. He kind of like spends too much time on making his hair look like he didn't spend any time on it. And like,
but if he like was from like Tangier, is from like 85.
Yeah, he's,
like,
he's vaguely, very vaguely multi-ethnic. Like, you don't know where from where. Like his mom was, you know, worked on the docks, and his dad was a minister from.
Mama used to work on the docks.
But he's very, very creepy. Very creepy version of Jeff Davis.
But there's also a very lovely guy up front. There's a black dude named Hallelujah, which is an awesome name. Yeah, Hallelujah is a good name.
Seems like cheating. In the name, I mean, okay, my name's awesome. Let's all just go fuck ourselves. My name's Butterfly. Like, some of us have to hunker down and be John, or Hallelujah's not cool. but I don't want to jump all over this guy. Never met him. Already jealous.
Oh, shit, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
Should I pick you a slower beat to rap to?
A slow beat to rap?
A slow beat,
like a slow
maybe?
Rap? Yeah, yeah. Like a slow, regretful rap?
Zach, what's that? Zach, what was that one that was kind of slow? Where'd he go? Oh, Zach's drunk, too.
Yeah.
What was that one that was kind of slow and groovy?
I feel like maybe what it, you know...
Oh, here it is. Hey, I think
usually go with the stationary mic stand, but maybe like I should loosen up so that you can't tell. I think the mic in a stand like helps you know how drunk I am. But if the whole thing's moving, yeah. Then you can't tell. Right? I seem sober now.
Give it some of that Dane Cook karate moves, you know. Dane Cook it up. Let's try the slower beat.
Yo. Yo. Slow rap. Yo. A slow rap. Yo. Yo. A slow rap.
No, talking. That didn't work. You just kept saying slow rap a lot.
Well, I worked my way into it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Slow rap.
Like, if you're just going to keep saying slow rap, we're... I will clear this room.
All right, I need to start immediately. Okay.
No. He's into it.
Slow rap.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. You've made that quite clear.
Am I allowed?
Yeah. Do
slow rap.
Go.
Slow rap. Cities, coast to coast, gotta. Motherfucker knows the most. Gotta. Put your mama on some toast. I gotta. Gonna fuck your mama's ghost, I gotta. Cause I fucked you to death, I gotta. Did too much crystal meth, I fucked you. I fucked your mama to death, and then I fucked her. Fucked her harder to death, I gotta. Fucked your mama in a slow rap, I gotta. Fucked your mama slow as crap, I gotta. Fucked your mama all over the stage, I gotta. Fucked your mama, I'm a third level mage, I gotta. Your mama, cause I'm casting a spell. Fucked your mama up from heaven to hell. Fucked your mama like my name was Snoop. Fucked your mama in the butt and felt poop. No.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect here.
No.
You're not supposed to rap about that.
No. We found your tempo and also
found your audience. You guys, is it? Did all the colleges get off for Christmas? Is that like all of a sudden, like fucking, like this is amazing. You felt her poop when you fucked her. All right, where have you guys been?
You know, Dan, they've been at college and they missed their mothers. You brought them right back home.
I'm sick of hearing about Kierkegaard. Yes. Feel someone's poop.
Yeah. There's no place like home for the holidays.
So I guess The Hobbit's gonna be three movies. Bump. What? Someone said okay. Who said okay? You're into it. All right. Can you come up?
I can take like 9 hours, 12 hours. I'm cool with anything.
Could you want? Will you come up and talk about it?
I don't know what they're gonna do with it. It's one book.
He asked you, would you get up on stage?
Because the audience isn't mic'd, so for the podcast, but we don't bully people here. We don't make fun of people for coming up. I just like to hear people and meet people. Have you been here before?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
Does this work?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll... Yeah, yeah. I know I'm not that tall.
Yeah, you are.
I'm as tall as you.
Are you like a height orexic? You are exactly that tall. It's pointed at your mouth.
Wait, Dan.
I used to work at a rehab center and they would in the eating disorder unit for anorexic women they had this therapy technique where they would have them draw how big they thought their body was and then lay them down in it and take a picture of them. I'm like, what is this, Sesame Street? Is that how anorexia works? Really? You like can actually just think that your physical body is... Anyways, I don't know who's
your name,
the hero,
sir?
And who's the villain.
What's your name?
Oh, I'm Phil.
That's okay. You don't have to be Thor.
Phil, I'm going to have to do this because tonight is a no mic stand night. So I'm gonna, you're going to have to Dan Cook this. There you go. Put that mic stand away.
How come?
Yeah. I'm enforcing the no mic stand rules.
All right. All right. We're all like,
there's not much to talk about with The Hobbit. It's probably going to be 9 hours, and it's probably going to be extended to 12 hours.
But okay, I read The Hobbit.
Yeah.
I did not so much read the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but the Lord of the Rings trilogy was a trilogy in book form.
Yes.
So they made a movie for each book. The Hobbit was one book.
Yep.
So if they make a Where the Red Fern Grows movie, and they make it three movies, we get to go, what, is the first movie going to be about the red fern growing? Are they never going to get to the coon hounds dying?
I mean, they can kind of stretch it.
Spoilers, sorry. The coon hounds die.
I mean, there's a lot to stretch with that movie. There's a war that just happens to be only like 50 pages, from what I remember.
Yeah, and they're making Anna Karenina. One movie. That book is long. That's like a 900-page book. 1,200-page book. I read that thing. You could make 18 movies out of that thing.
Oh, it's true.
Well, will you accept that you're up here in defense of The Hobbit being three movies in the face of a society that is crying out, why not merge these Kill Bills into one 90-minute thing? Like
Kill Bilbo.
And you're saying the reason why...
I mean,
that's what you call it. You call it Kill Bilbo.
I just found out 5 minutes ago, and I'm already defending this.
I told you?
Yeah.
You found out from me that The Hobbit's three movies?
Yes. I thought it was two movies.
Yo. Yo. Yeah. I'm Nikki Fink, yo. Yeah. Yo. Yo. Deadline Hollywood, the news comes from me to your neighborhood. I got the ear to the Hollywood ground. I got some new scoops from The Hobbit I found. I heard the Dateline LA is three movies. Oh shit, some people think it's not groovy, but motherfucker MC Phil's all right with it. Now we're gonna fight with it. Stupid.
But you could have told me it was four movies and I would have been okay with it.
So your point being,
prolong the enjoyment
rather than have to sit through like they make 50,000 shitty movies a year. When Peter Jackson's behind the camera and the content is he directing them?
Yes,
I hope so.
Certainly not going to ask you. I know where you get your news.
Are you directing The Hobbit?
you're saying as long as Peter Jackson's behind the camera and they're in New Zealand and they're dealing with that awesome original like material, you'll watch it forever.
Yeah.
Like you hope that every movie is 8 hours long and there's one a week.
I saw King Kong in theaters and like I may have thought that was a half hour long, like maybe 2.5 hours too long, but I still saw it.
Right. All right. Well. All right.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard to tell him to fuck off.
I've never read Tolkien, but I really like the Lord of the Rings films, and I don't mind it being prolonged entertainment if they're all good.
Well, certainly the appeal of the Tolkieniverse, if I can call it that.
No, you may not, sir.
Let's ask Janet Tolkien.
Absolutely not.
All right. Yeah, I heard she's the black sheep of the family. I heard half of the Silmarillion went up her nose. Half of the money. Like, that was it.
Not this half.
That was it. That was a deep cut Tolkien reference. all right. Well, okay. I mean, yeah, the appeal of the Tolkieniverse is the texture.
It's like
the feel that you're there. But I'm serious. Like, let's seriously. Have you read The Hobbit?
Yes.
So,
how many times?
So let's break The Hobbit up into three parts. Breaking The Hobbit up into three parts, where do you think the first movie is going to end?
Like, probably when they reach the dragon, probably.
No!
No.
No!
Wait.
Dinner is when it will end at the dinner. And the second movie will begin with, Jesus Christ, so many dishes. I can't believe we ate all of that lasagna.
Well,
we should think about fighting a dragon. And so it came to pass that they thought about fighting a dragon.
Dan, this guy up here has a pretty good opinion about where he thinks the first break.
Oh, Jesus, this guy?
Yeah.
right.
You told me you were going to rate my soul last week.
Yeah. We did a bit. You were very good.
Thank you.
Remind us of your name, please.
Ben. My name's Ben.
Ben. Welcome back, Ben.
Thank you.
Last week we kept pretending he was Greg Barrett, and then he was at the show.
That's right.
All right, Ben.
From my understanding of it, which is fairly limited as well, it's that the third movie is actually going to be another book that comes between The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings series. No? Am I wrong?
All right, get up here. Come on. No, you stay. Because this is how the first Hobbit movie is going to be. As far as I understand the book, it's just a bunch of fucking dwarves like crowding into a hobbit. Hey, I'm here. What's going on? That's going to be the whole movie. We're halfway through the first movie.
Is the first movie just going to be a Tom Bombadil movie?
But I don't know. I don't know.
Tom Bombadil was cut out of the first Lord of the Rings, and a lot of fanboys got very upset.
Oh.
His character was cut out.
All right.
The original plan for the Hobbit movies was there was going to be the Hobbit was going to be one movie, and then there was going to be a second movie, which was going to bridge the Hobbit with the Lord of the Rings, which people got upset about because there's no literary reference to bridge that.
Fight. Fight.
I don't remember the name of it, but there is a book that what's it called?
It's all the appendices.
Get up here. Get on stage. Somebody Instagram this immediately.
This is Falcom and Malcolm and Tukin and Pookin.
Where's Greg?
Are you guys talking about the Lost Tales? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
There was that compendium of that Christopher Tolkien found in. Yeah. I'll shut up.
That's Mormon.
All right. Unrelated.
No, I mean, again, my
all right.
My knowledge is as limited as these gentlemen, but there's a bunch of...
Everyone keeps saying that, but...
Jerry! Get up here! Get up here!
All right.
We're going to need a bigger stage.
Okay. They're breaking The Hobbit into three movies. The first...
Wait a second. There's a guy... He's the bartender from the Pikey. What?
No. Okay, the first movie is the travel to Smaug the dragon. And then the second movie is all about fighting the dragon. And then the third movie is about Dale and the Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, shit.
And they're taking additional information from the Silmarillion to fill in when Gandalf, like, left for 90 pages and then came back. And they're just making it up based off of, like, 20 minutes or 20 pages of him being like, oh, I fought Sauron, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That might be kind of cool.
Yeah. You say fought or fought?
Fought Sauron. When he fights Sauron, the wizard or whatever, they fill that in and they're going to show it instead. So
they get all the way to the precipice of fighting Smaug in
but
the first...
But they don't actually do it.
Right. But you know, that you know first Lord of the Rings movie, they didn't get a lot done, but it was very exciting.
Yeah, it's mostly walking. Yeah.
So then they fight Smaug the whole second movie, which would be pretty badass.
I've actually never read
that
the book.
That guarantees you Empire Strikes Back.
He's never read it.
That's all right. He doesn't have to. If this was about literature, this wouldn't be a billion-dollar industry. How much have you guys read today? All right. So,
wait. What's your name, hero from the middle audience?
My name is Tyler.
Tyler. Well, so you've never read the books, but you know more than these guys who have clearly read these books.
Well, I saw that like 1988 cartoon that has the Hobbit back then.
Lies ahead. Was that did Ralph Bakshi direct that?
Yes. See that's all I know about Tolkien. Is that.
You guys get so mad when you agree with things. I grew up on that stuff, like seeing it and not knowing it from I was just like being disturbed by it, like that and Watership Down. Like I'm afraid to watch it again in adulthood. All right, well you it's cool that you wore a newsy cap because you really brought extra and made us. Know all about it. Well,
there are fanboys that are here. I just had to come represent, I guess.
All right. Well, I guess let's have a hand for the fellowship of looking forward to The Hobbit.
Next week is going to be Jane Austen, ladies.
Yeah, sharpen your corrections. Don't know. All right.
That was exciting.
It gets exciting fast here. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh my God!
I can't believe that
there are guys shaking each other's hands. Because they that guy, the newsy guy, went and sat down, Tyler. and then the guy in front of him turned around and was like, "Thank you for whatever you did. Like you represent something up there. Like I don't know what you said. They might work together, but I want to think that he was like, thank you so much for what you said. It was so brave." It reminds me of my jury duty story. Did I ever tell my jury duty story up here when I was in Milwaukee?
If you did,
Milwaukee?
It was way before podcast time and probably before...
I'm going to breeze through it really fast.
I tell the story as much as you do, probably. Cause this
it was
is
the greatest, greatest day of my life. It was the only day when I was as much a hero as the Hobbitses and the Bobbitses.
Will you do me a favor? Will you take this 5-minute story and break it up over 3 podcasts? Get us into your car and driving to jury duty.
The first one takes you to me showing up at the courthouse, and then I insert a whole scene where, you know, yeah, Sean Astin says, think about it this way. You're right. This is a good ending. I went to jury duty.
The year is 1972.
Close. It was like 90-something. I was still in Milwaukee. I was a very young, spry little child, little writer and improviser living in Milwaukee. And I went to jury duty. Never gone to jury duty before. And you spend the whole time, you get quickly indoctrinated into the culture of, I got to get out of here. Like this is, we're the suckers. We got to get out of here. Like the people explaining it to you, no one's going like, congratulations on jury duty. Like they know that they need to ingratiate themselves to you by saying, sorry, you're at jury duty. And they're right to do that. It's like, it's a drag if you're over 12. It might be exciting for someone who still thinks pencils might be spaceships. You could maybe occupy yourself. Everyone else wants to kill themselves. So you spend the whole time like getting called and not called, and you're like you're told like, oh, you're on the precipice of getting dismissed, and then like at the we were so close to me and my group. We were so close to getting out, and then we got called for this case, and we're like, "Fuck you!" Like at that point, you go through phases where you go, "I kind of actually, I don't want to seem uncool to my peers here, but I actually kind of think it would be cool if I got called in and like someone murdered someone, and I had to decide who murdered someone." You have these thoughts in your head, like, "I'm going to be a juror, and it's going to be amazing," but then that quickly fades, and you go, "I gotta get out of here, please let me. I'm so close," and then they call you, and you have to go. And you shuffle into the courtroom, and we end up in the jury box, and it's all kind of random. And I ended up the juror number one. I was like sitting in the front. It's kind of randomly arranged, and there's this kid sitting there. Looked like he was like 16 years old. No idea how old he was, but
the defendant.
Yes, yeah. the defendant.
Yeah, okay. I checked
the
that
judge.
For a while. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, no. I will edit out whatever bored you.
No, I just yeah. Slow rap.
Slow story.
Sorry, no, it's not a slow story. I just go ahead.
Turns out the kid was like a pot like possession thing. This kid lived in the outskirts of Wisconsin. And he was walking down a highway. They give you all the details of the case, and he was walking down like a county highway in his like little rural area of the free fire zone, sector 7, where there's probably nothing to do but smoke pot. And a cop started coming, probably the only cop where he lives. And the kid had a pipe, and it had a little bit of resin in it. And he like chucked his pipe into like a bunch of corn. He was like, oh, fuck, there's a cop coming. It kind of went like this. Cop like stopped and got out and went through the corn and found the pipe. And took the kid in, and at some point the kid apparently, and this is why he's my hero, must have exercised his right to trial by jury for this thing. because here I am now, and these other people, and they explain the details of the case, and then they say the thing that's like, if you, I'm sure most of you have been on jury duty, there's like that moment where they go, does anyone feel like they wouldn't be able to be impartial in this case? And then like you see like the Jehovah's Witness lady raise her hand, and you watch her get to walk the fuck out, and you're like, it's Jehovah's Witness, like you're trying, and then the person who was a victim, because they have
witness in the name. It's,
it used to be this has changed now, by the way, because I just recently did jury duty in L.A. and they were like, "Fuck you, fuck all of that." Like there's a portcullis comes down and they're like, "Nice try, asshole." But back then it was like someone went, "I'm a Jehovah's Witness, like, get the fuck out. I can't sit in judgment of others." And then someone else, "I was a victim of a violent crime. Fuck you. My friend's a cop. Go fuck yourself. Get out. Go home. Go play Nintendo." And you're like, "Whoa." And so like this one was like handed to me on a silver platter, because the truth is like, of course I'm not going to judge this impartially. Like, leave the kid alone. It's like he might end up being a senator if you don't bust him now for a fucking dumbass pipe full of a stupid thing that grows out of the ground. It's like arrest the cop, throw him off a cliff. Like that, I'm sure neither choice will measurably improve society, but there's a better chance that if the cop like exploded. I'm not impartial. That's my point. I'm partial. I have a feeling.
And a cop killer.
I don't mean that. I just mean that they exploded. I don't. If you're a police officer, I don't drive a silver Prius. I don't really. I'm not like. There's a lot of great people who are cops and whatever. I don't mean.
You would like to see them explode, apparently.
I meant like biologically, like sci-fi wise. I didn't mean like Al-Qaeda. See what society's become? This story takes place in a different universe before a lot of things went down. The judge goes, "Does anyone think that they wouldn't be able to be impartial about this?" And my hand shot up like a rocket, because I was like, "Holy shit! I actually can't be impartial. I'm gonna get out of jury duty." And I raised it, and everyone kind of chuckled, like, "Oh, well, this young man's hand sure went up fast." And I was juror number one, which made me the jury foreman. Should it actually go to the thing? And then they're like, "Okay, sir, what's your problem?" And I said, "Well, I don't think that this law should be a law." So I think that any kind of legal proceeding about it, the whole time I'm going to be thinking like, "Well, let's just get out of here." And I think that makes me like, I'm not going to be able to be impartial, because I don't see the crime here. And they're like, "Well, no, but it is a crime. We didn't ask you if you think it should be a crime. We asked you if you think you could judge him." And like, they started really, really laying into me, and I was like, "Well, yeah, but I'm telling you, like, the customer is always right. You asked the question. Like, do you think that I would be able to judge it impartially? Like who are you going to believe over me when I say no?" And what better answer than, because I think this is a plant that grows out of the ground, and I don't think he was hurting anybody, and I think that, you know, it's your business. If, you know, the larger society wants to have a big war on some kind of controlled substance, and I can't step into that because that's a big mess. But I see a kid, and I see a dumb pipe, and I see a lot of wasted time, and I want to get out of here. And I think it's like, you know, I just kind of like answered honestly, and then the prosecutor got up and was like, "No, I want to ask him a question. Now, but don't you understand that it's illegal?" It's, "Yes, but I don't think it should be. I don't think it should be. I don't know how many times to say this." And so we went back and forth for like 10 minutes. It was crazy. And I'm not exaggerating. Like,
Tracy got up and he had a fan.
I hope you can trust me by now to know that, like, I wouldn't exaggerate. Like, I told you, I shoved a Sharpie pen up my ass. If this story involved me being less than amazing, I would tell you. Like, the weird thing is, I was awesome in this story. It was an accident. They made me awesome. I just went back and forth with them, and so then they're like, "Oh, fine, whatever." And then because I was juror number one, and everyone watched that happen, then they go, "Okay, let's move on. Does anyone else feel that they would be not be able to be impartial?" And like eight hands went up. including, and I'm not kidding, it was like a fucking like rom-com, like an old woman, like a really old, like brought knitting to jury duty, like not ironically Winona Ryder knitting, but like knitting like her clothes for things, like for her cat, like raised her hand, like everybody, and they went down like, okay, now what about you? And I was like, well, I think it's, you know, I guess like the young man said, like, and then everybody, they went down the line. I was like, well, I guess it's like he said. And the judge was like this. He's like clapping his hand. Because humanity is a resource. It's like Soylent Green in the courthouse. Like, they need to flood these channels with human fucking bodies. And you can revolt and go, no, you need us to technically make the courthouses work. We don't want to be here. We want to poop on you.
It's in the Constitution. They tell you when you go to jury duty that you're only there to judge the evidence. But in the Constitution, it actually says, no, you're also there to judge the validity of the law itself.
Yeah, you're there because you are the law. You're Judge Dredd.
You are allowed to say, what if I don't like the law? They go, that's not what we're doing. They go, well, the Constitution says otherwise. And if you, by the way, if you want to get out of jury duty, stand up and go, what's the court's stance on jury veto? They go, see you later.
they will validate your parking and give you a fucking bean burrito.
So all this, everyone's going, it was late in the day, and everyone's going like, oh, I think what the young man said, I was like, he wasn't hurting anyone. And the judge went, guys, the two lawyers came up and they went, and they all walked away. They all left. And then they went to the kid who was sitting there. Now nobody but the jury just sitting there. Like,
are you smoking a big cigar at this point? Or you're like,
not quite. Well, yeah, I guess in my head I am, but like, but this is the thing that reminded that moment when the guy turned and congratulated, because the old woman who was sitting in front of me, she turned in her chair and she put her ginger paper wonderful Hallmark hand on my thigh, and said, I just want to tell you, I think what you did was very brave. Brave?
The great adventure.
I love getting high and I want to get out of jury duty. And I'm also brave. Amazing. Jackpot. And everyone was like, yeah, I was afraid to say something because I was, you know, it's like, it's a courthouse. Yeah, then they're going to come to your house. I was like, you guys comfortable living in that society? You really think that if you were in jury duty and said, well, I got a problem with this, that you'd go home and there'd be a cop going, well, smarty pants. Sounds like you like the reefer. Now we got your name and number.
We'll shut you down, Harmon.
Stay away from the pool hall. Make that happen sooner than later if you think that's possible.
But now that's what's closer to the world we live in now, for certain. That people
probably
are, people,
yeah,
are
well
scared.
Because you sure can't get out of jury duty anymore. But and so like
jury veto.
The so the judge comes back with the lawyers. Everybody, the kid is going. He's got a big giant smile on his face. And the judge says, so what happened is, it's late in the day, and we just sort of settled the matter in chambers, and so there's no more case, and you guys are free to go, but I would like to talk to you in the hallway, the judge said.
To you, the jurors.
Yeah. Like, I'd like, well, could you please meet me around front? I'd like to talk to you for a moment. So you're all free to go. And we all get up out of the jury box and we all walk over to the doorway where the judge, in his little robe, big robe, sorry, society, and his crown, came over and he it's like, you guys are free to go. I just want to let you know, I don't approve of what you did in there, but I approve of the system that let you do it. I think it's amazing that you're able to do it, and that's, you know, a lot of people don't understand that's what the justice system is based on, is your ability to do what you did. And I don't, you know, I think something bad happened in there technically, but that's my own personal point of view. as a legal person, I admire what happened in there. I mean, I don't, but I do. And it was like, shut up. What?
He
was basically saying, as far as I could understand,
marijuana should be illegal, but you guys are legally allowed to override
it. Yeah, exactly. Like, why didn't you take that 15-year-old kid and ruin his life for smoking weed? Because Thomas Jefferson said you could. Fuck off. He was like mad, but like also didn't want to make his forefathers mad. I so weird.
Well, he was a guy that actually read the Constitution, and when you go to the, I went to jury duty. I've been there a couple of times, and the first time I was there, I was like, I don't know, I was in college, so maybe 18 years old, and I was sitting there, and at the LA courthouse down there, I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's a bummer. And I'm sitting there, and there was this bunch of people just sitting there. Some people are really happy about it. They got their juror badges on. They're really excited about it. This is my civic duty. I get to be involved. Like, that's totally fine. If you want to be there, that's a good juror, probably. Someone that wants to be there says, I'm interested. I would like to check this out, and I hope I get a good case. A lot of people, they're like, I got a kid, I got to babysit later on, I got to go to school, and like, how do I get out of this thing? Well, there was a silent radio going by at the speed of sound. Like a little red, you know, digital thing going by, and it was all in mumbo jumbo legalese, saying like, in the event that you blah blah blah, some couple of Latin terms and stuff like that. And I read it once, and I waited for it to cycle through again. It's also where the snack bar is and where the restrooms are. And I grabbed this woman next to me, this like, you know, housewifey lady next to me. I'm like, read this with me, and tell me if you think this is what it's saying. And what it said is, if you don't feel like you should be here, you can walk up to Uphill Street, and if you have the blues by being here right now, you can walk Uphill Street. And you go to the fourth floor of a thing, and you can say, and you can fill out a form. And I read it three or four times, and I just got up and walked out. And like some guy's like, whoa, where you going, man? I'm like, read that thing. He's like, I've been trying to read that thing for a half hour. Like, me too. I was like,
it's like, yeah. I picture it as like Green Matrix characters.
You can read that?
Yeah.
But yeah, but like the silent radio, like it goes by and says pizza. Our number is like, it goes by too fast. Like, no one's gonna get your delivery number on the silent radio out in front of Hard Times Pizza. It goes by too fast. And so I got in the elevator, and then like there was really like a hand stopped the elevator from closing, and there were like seven people that were like, "We're coming with you." And then like other people saw that, we all got in, and there was people getting up, and they were coming toward us. So we walk up a block across like hill and whatever that is, Hope or something like that, and we walk up the street, and then we go in a thing, and we go in an elevator, and we look behind us, and there's 15, 20 other people coming. And we're going to the thing. I didn't want to be there. Oh, I wanted to get out of there. And so we go up to the fourth floor of the place, and an elevator door opens, and a bunch of like women, mostly, that worked there in the little cubicles, saw the elevator open, and they saw 20 people come out, and they was like, oh, God. Like, once a month, somebody reads that fucker.
Another Pied Piper.
So they give you a form that says, why don't you want to be here? And you can say this, you can say that. And so there's like two lines, if it's not one of the four things they give you as reasons, you can say why. And I was like, I don't believe the way the criminal justice like operates in the system. I went in this big like, you know, Emma Goldman like thing, like it's like the system's on trial. And I was like, I wrote on the back of it and filled it up. I'm like, they're gonna go, okay, this guy's gonna be a bad juror. So I get there, and they read through your stuff, and this woman, she's this black lady, she had like you know, crosses, and very Christian black lady, like very very nice and very tired of her job. And I sit down, she goes, all right, Jeff. And she's looking at it. She's reading. She's reading the French. She's like, and she sees it. Turns over to the other side, and she sees the other side just dense writing, like Chaucer on the back. And then she's like, and she reads. She gets like halfway through, and she goes, Jeff, I can't give them this. They're going to make you be a juror. Just go in there. Tell them you don't want to be there. They'll probably let you out of it. I go, I don't want to spend the rest of my week like going through juror selection and doing that. I don't want to be here. And they're like, I can't say that. And I go, what can I say? What can I write on this piece of paper that gets me out of it? And she goes, and she stands up a little bit and looks over at me. She
she's so sick of me and the job. And she sits, and she looks back down, like she makes sure no one's listening. She goes, "Say religious." I'm like, "Religious." She goes, "She goes write religious on the card." I'm like, "I thought religious, like Jeff Davis." She goes, "Sign it." And so I John Hancocked it, and she goes, "You're free to go." I'm like, "Tell everybody that." And she's like, "If we told everybody that, there wouldn't be any juries in there anymore." Now you can't. So I got another summons 10 years later. I thought I was off the books forever. I thought that was, you know, like I was like done with that. No, they changed the system. I got the jury thing again, and I wrote religious this and that.
And then you got another thing back that said, "Get your ass in here, boy."
It's a nice try. You'll go to jail. So
yeah.
So I went online and I read about juror veto, and I was prepared for that one. But fortunately, I actually had a thing. But
I went in this last time.
I would do jury. By the way, I would do jury duty now. I'm not that busy anymore. I would do it. I'd be interested. I think
that's how I felt. It's like it's the same way I feel about software piracy. Like I stole my ass a lot of Adobe shit. So if I need Photoshop, I made enough money off of using Photoshop for free that, like, if I have it, like, they get it, and it all worked out for all of us in the end. Like, when that $5 a day wasn't going to cover my rent, I was like, fuck jury duty. But now I'm like, okay, I'll go in, I'll do my duty. It's a duty. I was like, if nobody did it, what the fuck are you going to do? What about that kid who's got caught smoking pot by a dick cop? There's a kid out there. You could make a difference. So I went into the LA Superior Court, and I went through 2 days of this business, and I'm not. It was just funny because I went through all this thing, and I was like my heart was pumping. I'm like, am I gonna try to get out of it? Am I gonna like try to say I won't be impartial? But I watched them pick off one by one, and by pick off I mean not pick off. Like the people tried to get out of jury duty. It just said like, no, it's a religious. And they're like, fuck you, sit down. Welcome to the jury. How about you, ma'am? But it got disturbing because there was a woman who stood up and said, like I'm a writer and sometime an actor. I've even dabbled in directing. I think I can tell a lady faking being the victim of a violent crime and not wanting to be a part of this and being emotionally traumatized by it. And she was either Meryl Streep or
Penny
was
Marshall.
I watched a woman get abused a second time by the system because she was like, I just can't. And she was fucked up about it because they tell you the details of the crime. Okay, this guy stabbed this guy, and then this thing happened, and this, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I can't do this. I've been through this before.
This is not when she's already been on the panel when they're saying, like, when they're really like.
She's on the panel.
Oh, so this is real juror selection.
Yeah.
And
it was, okay, good. Sit back down. And it was like nobody got let go. They did not do any of that business. And I was in the elevator with her, and I turned to her. It was such an awkward moment because I turned to her and I said, like, I can't believe they didn't let you go. And she responded to me like really emotionally, said like, I wasn't trying to get let go. I was just being honest. She thought that I was saying like, yeah, jury duty, right? Fuck this shit. Like, I can't believe they didn't buy that. You know, like you know what I mean? Like I felt like I was part of the, I just meant like, I can't believe the government is terrible and raped you in there. But it felt like I was, God, it was the worst. But at the end of it, so I'm like, okay, I'm doing jury duty because I just watched this lady get trounced. Like, I'm not going to go up there and go, nanu, nanu, I'm racist. I'm not doing it. I'm gonna, just so I can tweet it and like, because that lady is going to be haunting me for the rest of my life.
That
jury duty is duty. So
that better be the name of this podcast. By the way.
Nanu, nanu, I'm racist. So I hunker down for the due diligence, and we end the whole day, and then I go home. I'm busy as fuck. I'm like, I gotta go back. It's a bummer to have to go downtown. It's blah blah blah. You know, first world problems. But I go back, and I'm there, and we show up, and we're waiting outside the courtroom, and we wait and we wait and we wait, and then a guy comes out at a certain point and goes like, "There's been a development, and you can go to lunch." So I went to lunch. This was the day that the space shuttle was being flown all around LA. I don't know if this is a important part of the story. But it was an odd experience for me because I had no idea. I was on jury duty. I was just like I gotta get a drink. It's 11 a.m. and I'd never hang out downtown. So I'm just like walking.
No, you
looked
walk
on my
Altera Street and you go have a margarita. That's what
I looked on my phone for martini icons and was like following it. And as I'm walking across this park of this industrial park downtown, it was like a zombie movie. Like everyone was looking at a fixed point in the sky, and I kept like nine times. I kept looking for a suicide jumper, and there was never anything. And I just kept walking. I was like, maybe this is what happens to people when they work downtown. Like maybe they're like cattle. Maybe they're just grazing freedom. Like they're just looking at the moon. Like what would it be like there? You could live in a crater and. Like, no one would ever fuck with you. Just keep looking at it. I just suck it up into my eyeballs for another 6 hours of data entry. And I finally, I couldn't stand it. I was like, what? I just stopped this one lady. I was like, or didn't stop her. She stopped me. Whatever, Harmon. There's a footnote session. I said, what is everybody looking at? I'm really sorry. And she's like, you don't know? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, the space shuttle's coming. I was like, what do you mean it's coming? Like, what do you mean? What? I still didn't understand.
The Wells Fargo wagons are coming.
They got honey. Fargo, they got scarves. I need a new scarf from Neptune. Like I was like, I thought, didn't they decommission that fucking thing? Like what? What do you mean? Why is it coming to Los Angeles? What is it doing here? And
looks like space shuttle's coming.
And I just kept walking between people and went into an empty P.F. Chang's or something. It was like, give me everything you have behind the bar, because I had to go back to jury duty. Watched that, figured it out on the TV. They're like, oh, they're taking the space shuttle everywhere. They're flying it all around all over the goddamn place for some reason. Some weird.
While you were there, I was I got a text from Dino and you saying the space shuttle's flying around.
Right.
And Dino was saying he was at the drawing room, our little local bar.
Yeah, and it flew right over the drawing room.
And I was like, what? As I live, half a mile, quarter of a mile from there. I'm like, I didn't hear it go by, and so I was sitting on my toilet taking a shit, as one does, and I hear, and I was like, please let my phone be here, and I grab my phone, pull the blinds up, and I have a shot I put on Instagram of the space shuttle flying over my bathroom window.
I just watched it on the news.
That's awesome.
Everyone in the bar was like watching on the TV, and they were going, it's coming, it's coming, and then they kept running out. I was like, it looks better on the TV, like way better.
No,
I don't know.
It looked pretty cool. I have friends that were like downtown.
Also, there's a cash register here now.
It was really low. They flew that thing incredibly low.
So I go because they were tooling it. I mean, I guess that's kind of cool that they were like just showing it off.
It was saying fuck you to the rest of the cities that bid to have it in their museum, and it's like, we got your space shuttle, fucker.
Yeah, it was like L.A. going like, yeah, it's cool to be in L.A. There's more here than just riots.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
There's outer space.
Yeah.
Hey, black people, we may expand out so much that you stop being the victims of crime.
Wow.
Okay.
Nanu,
right.
Nanu.
That was reverse race. I was being Alan Alda about that. So I go back, I traipse my corpse back to the courthouse, and we wait again for another hour and a half. It's like so to recap here, like the whole from morning to lunch, like we were just waiting, and something weird happened, and then the bailiff just told us to fuck off and go have lunch and come back. So we all come back. So now I've been downtown all day. I come back. We wait another hour. The bailiff comes out and goes like, or I'm sorry, he goes, come on in, guys. We all shuffle in, and we knew something was fishy because he didn't tell us like 674, go to the left. Like there was no, it was just like, get in here, assholes. And so we all shuffled in and sat down, and the judge was like, well,
Johnny Carson, rather.
This is weird, wild stuff, but
you're free to go. It was, and he didn't explain anything. He's like, you're free to go. Okay. All right. It was like, what happened yesterday? And they were at the elevators, and I saw one of the attorneys, and they tell you don't talk to the attorneys until after the case. And so as I said, one of them waiting for the elevator, the case is over, right? So can I ask you what happened? And the prosecutor looked at the DEA. Am I getting those terms right?
Probably assistant DEA.
I'm sure I wasn't. Sam Waterston wasn't there. I just mean there were the two opposing attorneys, and they kind of looked at each other like as if to ask themselves, like, is it okay to answer the question? And then said, yeah, he didn't show up. So this kid who needed a translator in court because he was it was a gang thing. Like, he stabbed somebody, and I'm assuming I'm allowed to talk about this now. I'm not blowing the roof off of this thing. There was a stabbing and blah, 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 and he had a translator in the courtroom, and the translators could only work in shifts, so there was, like, always some James Carville guy walking in and trading on, like, tagging out. It was the weirdest thing in the world. And this kid just sat there for a day, wasted my fucking time. Don't stab me, kid, if you're listening. And then the next day, he was like, "I'm not fuck this." Like, he just left.
He just boned out.
Yeah, I guess it's what I'd do if I stabbed someone, or didn't, and everyone thought I did.
Maybe he stole the space shuttle.
It might have been him in the space shuttle. All right, stupid jury duty. We spent the whole night talking about jury duty.
Real quick, when I was sitting in the big, like when you sit out in the gallery out there, and they're saying, like, who has conflicts, who has this, and you all write it down, you hope you get kicked out. And they're going, I have a thing, I'm going out of town, is it a vacation? Yeah, when are you going? Okay, I'll keep that in mind, stay. You can go. You're taking care of an elderly woman. Like, you can leave. So some people were going. Some people were kind of on hold. And she comes to me, and I had all these improv show dates, like traveling around doing improv comedy. And I wrote them all down. I was already contracted to go. And so this judge, and she was kind of this tough lady, and she's like, all right, Jeff Davis says you're going to be out of town through January, this and that and that. Then February, blah, 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 blah. And that's about half of the dates and things. She says, what do you do? I go, I just do comedy shows. And she's like, what kind of comedy shows? I'm like, improvisation. There's like 100 people in there who have interesting lives, or you know, mundane lives or whatever. Like, you heard a lot of very specific shit. This is a new one.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. I kept recording it because I was like, shit, I work like for hours coming up with, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like, people are standing up like weird. Yeah, like, just so specific, you can't write it.
And so she goes, like, are you an actor? I go, yeah. And she goes, are you going to be famous, Mr. Davis? And I said, yes, Your Honor. And she goes, get out of here.
Get out of here. All right. All right, that's it. Good night, folks.
Good night.
All right, one more. All right, before we bring Spencer up.
I brought my roommate. You asked for her.
Life. Adam, we were not talking to you.
All right, Adam. No, well, I asked Adam to bring his roommate here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Adam.
Adam has a weird relationship with his roommate that I want to explore.
Has a weird relationship with me.
Adam is going to bring humanity up, his roommate, and we're going to get to the bottom of why things are so uncomfortable between us in the apartment called Earth.
Ay, ay, ay.
Cinco de Mayo. I was in the green room with our friend that does not exist, documentarian Neil Berkley.
Yes. World famous.
Who is a fly on the wall. He does not exist. He's not making a movie about us going on tour. He does not exist. He's not a person that is going to be in the movie. So everything I say about it. But I wanted to talk. Like, he was shooting me. And he asks questions. He wants information. He's like, "So, what do you think? What do you think you're going to do tonight?" Or something. He's not that lame. I don't remember what he's asking me. But I was going like, "Yeah, well, the thing is, you were doing this, and I've always thought that you should do this, and I want to try this." And there was a point where he said, "I may be mischaracterizing it, but this is how I perceived it." He went like, "So, is this how you really talk?" Is this who you really are? Like, he was kind of like, he's like a documentarian. He was going like, wait a minute, what the fuck's going on? Are you always this retarded? No, he didn't say that. I was like, is this how you talk? And I was like, I think so. I don't know. I'm perfectly willing to accept that it's not. I don't know. There's a camera on me and I'm talking. And I was like, oh, no, I just want to, you know, you're very loquacious. That's all. I didn't want to throw him under the bus. I wanted to talk about my anxieties that causes.
Right. About
what do you do when someone asks you that? Is this how you really talk?
Oh, I thought I couldn't tell what you were going to say. Like if he's making fun of a stammer or
no,
what?
No. I think he meant like I was
always on.
Who said that? Fuck you. No, I'm kidding. Not fuck you. Who said that though?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus said that. That's what I thought he meant. Jesus called out always on. That's what I thought he meant. Like that's what I was like. I guess it's possible I may be overly conscious of the camera. I am talking after all to a camera, so I'm probably not acting completely like I normally would. So that's what. It threw me, and it made me wonder if I'm a human being or not.
Right. What was the verdict?
I don't know. I have no idea. How am I supposed to know?
Do you think? Eventually, we're going to be that camera's going to be up your nose for almost 3 weeks.
And I'll get used to it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was his issue. He wasn't. Because we talked about it. I was like, "What the fuck?" Because I'm self obsessed. I'm like, "What did you mean? Tell me everything. What did you mean?" And he said, "No, it's just you're very." He said, "Loquacious," which is something my mom always used to call me.
But how did I segue out of Adam and his roommate?
I just wanted to say talk.
Oh,
about
okay.
It.
That was
Adam. Fuck Adam. I was just saying before we bring Spencer up because it's 9:20. I was just thinking of this thing that happened before the show.
Yeah.
Well, what are you saying that I'm not normal?
No. I think you're very normal.
I mean, I talk how I talk. It's not. So I'm just trying to express myself.
And you do. Which is funny. But everybody. Like I'm nervous about the way I talk because I talk way too fast. I would love to talk slower. And when I listen to the podcast, I'm like, you're way more articulate than I am because I'm talking at a mile a minute. We both have our little modulations of when we're talking well and talking poorly.
Yeah, tonight's a bad night for me, but that's beside the point.
I disagree.
It made me wonder. Yeah, I'm just obsessed with myself, and like I was like, oh, do I? Am I? What was I? It's not important.
I think he's just a really good documentarian. He's got under your skin.
Well, yeah. Is that what they're supposed to do?
He's going to break you down. He's going to turn you inside out like a sock.
He's really great. He's really great at that. Yeah, he's a powerful presence to have. Yeah. I like him.
It's interesting because he's not just a guy with a camera. He knows what he's doing. Like he has opinions about stuff.
He's okay. Up your ass. He doesn't. He's not going to. He gives no quarter.
To your ass. He raped you, didn't he?
He touched me. He started touching me, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "No, did you get in the light?" And he's like, touching my cheek, and he kind of pushed it. He's like, "You look beautiful that way." And I was like, "I don't know. Is this a documentary?"
This is Neil Berkeley, famous documentarian.
Yeah. I mean, he's not shooting this thing. Yeah. He's not a character in it. But okay, he was right. And then he's like, "Take your shirt off." Yeah. And I was crying, but I was like, "Do you understand? I'm crying because you're doing this." And he's like, "Yeah, you're beautiful when you cry." And then out of nowhere, I said, "I have no idea." Like he had a beach ball. Like how do you fully inflated? Handed me a beach ball. I was just like, "Now, play with it. Play with it. Like, what do you fuck around at the beach? Play with it." I it was fucked up. I just wanted to talk to you about it because I'll forget
about it
tomorrow.
Was he holding a
camera? Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a pink camera with like no lens and like ridges.
Damn, that's a dildo.
Why is that too far? I don't know. Customers always right. Whatever you guys think is entertainment is up to you. But earlier, I will remind you that I said I felt someone's poop by fucking them in the butt, and you acted like Dane Cook was out here, and that you were fans of Dane Cook. Anyways,
Spencer time.
Spencer time.
Spencer, our dungeon master extraordinaire. Saunters towards his throne with a satchel.
His satchel is unfurled with the power of a million gremlocks.
I like that in your rap earlier you said that you were a level 3 mage. What was that?
Yeah.
That was nice.
Which we are. We leveled up. Remember?
We leveled up. So can I talk to more than one squirrel a day now, Spencer?
No, that's racial. It doesn't go by level. Nanu, nanu.
So, Spencer, did you get off of work?
Yeah, okay. I got the 10th from the 31st off. So if we're within those dates, I'm good. Otherwise, I might like have to dive out earlier.
No, 10 to the 31st puts you right in
there you go.
Thick of things.
Woo! Yay! Spencer will be joining us on Harmontown Tour.
Exciting.
And Dustin Marshall, our podcast producer, is going to endeavor to release our podcast daily
right,
so that people might follow the
so you guys won't be left out. And then we're going to try to make a big party happen when we come back. It'll be so we're in on the 31st of January, we're at Sketchfest in San Francisco, which is our, no offense, Los Angeles, but you'll probably all agree because you're from Los Angeles, our favorite city, San Francisco. we love it. We're going to be there for Sketchfest and do our final tour show there. But then we'll be back here in LA and we're going to try to put together like a big thing. We should have a big like homecoming
at the Wiltern.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. No. Whatever. We'll just stack homeless people and make a stage out of them. And just walk all over them and just go, "It's good to be back." there were less of these in Montana. Squishy here. But at any rate, I mean, I think we will talk about what we learned and what we didn't learn.
Also, I don't imagine anybody would, but should anybody happen to see us at a gig that's here tonight or comes to our shows here, if we're out on the road, come introduce yourselves. It'd be nice to see, like, if
absolutely, of course.
It'd be nice to meet any like traveling Armenians that come meet us. Speaking of Armenians, I saw the Armenian you the other day. I saw Armenian Dan Harmon. And I sang a whole song about Armenian Harmon. Armenian Harmon, stay away from me. But he looked an awful lot like you. And he was almost definitely Armenian.
I can't imagine there's much of a line between me and Armenian me. Like I think I could pass pretty easily for Armenian me.
No, it's a hair's breadth.
Yeah.
Spencer, how you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good. Good.
Yeah, you look
like it.
Thanks.
I'm always happy to see you, Spencer. You're a welcome addition here. It's good to have you.
I'm glad to be enjoyed by you guys.
Are you ready to be in a tour bus with us for God knows how long?
Yeah. I don't usually do things, and that sounds like a thing.
It's a tour bus is a great place to do it.
Yeah, this is almost certainly a thing, so it's going to be very exciting for you.
Yeah, it's a change of pace. An addition of things.
You'll be doing what you normally do at 70 extra miles per hour.
Masturbating.
Oh. The plot thickens.
It will.
Dress for movement, Spencer.
That is going to be a thing, isn't it? We're going to be together for... I didn't even thought about that.
No. Oh, yeah. We're all going to be fucking and sucking on that trip.
It doesn't take long, yeah.
Spencer, I'm going to wear your ass like a hat, Spencer.
I've seen enough movies to know.
Yeah, no.
Some Shaws are going to get shanked. Oh, wait, what did Goldberg want? Goldberg brought his roommate, I feel. Can we sneak him up real quick?
Sure. If that were possible.
Is that an oxymoron? Yeah. Can we sneak Adam Goldberg?
Adam Goldberg, everyone. Welcome him back, would you? A measured applause for the return of Adam Goldberg.
I asked you to bring your roommate.
And I asked you to bring back that plate I gave you last night. Do you have the plate?
Yeah, don't, but...
Oh,
in my
plate.
In my defense, it's a very passive-aggressive move to hand someone a big, heavy plate full of baked goods and then ask for the plate back when they're nowhere near their plate-holding device. I actually gleefully left it, like, in a public restroom. I couldn't wait for you to ask for it back so I could explain to you, your 24-year-old ass, no, you don't do that, Adam. You don't hand someone a big, heavy plate full of baked things unless
Dan,
you want to kiss the plate goodbye.
In his defense, you gleefully leave lots of things in public restrooms.
But also, not a valuable plate.
And a bunch plate? Of I don't care. I have my own plate.
I should have taken a picture of it. A bunch of half-eaten cookies and just like two brownies, like upside down. Like
that dessert tray had traveled over 80 miles by the time it got to you from beautiful Agoura Hills, California.
You're a diabolical person.
I brought you snacks.
You
that's
brought
a weird way to bring the diabolical into it.
It's not, but you didn't bring like a hot, like wonderful tray of home booked things. You Adam.
You're mad at me because I didn't bring you home cooked snacks?
No, Adam.
Then talk to my roommate who's a chef. Can we get a round of applause for my roommate?
All right.
Did you just throw to an audience intro?
All right. Wait, he's physically leaving this
fucking
place. All right, Adam Goldberg's roommate.
He just walked out the back door.
Do you need help?
Bolt it.
Pushing that jet.
Adam's been given a terrible latitude in Harmontown. I'm not sure I'm crazy about it.
All right, Adam Goldberg's roommate. I think I do have a name. I think. Well, I know, but I just want to say, from that title alone, everyone's already on your side.
You're like Joan of Arc.
Please welcome Hitler's therapist. What is your name?
Anastasia.
Anastasia. Ooh, yes. Prettiest name ever. I've used that a lot as people's middle names, like in comedy writing. Sarah Silverman's middle name in the Sarah Silverman program was Anastasia, and Pierce Hawthorne on Community's middle name was Pierce Anastasia Hawthorne.
Doesn't that mean something like resurrection or something like that?
You know, you're one of the first people to just point that out. It's true.
Oh, I've read Anna Karenina.
Okay. So you know.
What's the origin of Anastasia?
It's actually from two Greek words that mean resurrection. It's a pretty common Greek and Russian name, just not here.
I don't know why I keep looking at my Dungeons & Dragons character sheet. And it says you have a bag of holding. Is that? All right.
We'll be right back.
Not a good interviewer. I'm not good. If there's an edge of the pool within reach, I will grab it. Let's just...
What's on your mind, Anastasia? what brings you up here? What brings you up on stage? Yeah,
who seems to have disappeared?
No, let's ask her. Really, God, you have Adam Goldberg's roommate on stage. Like
well,
what? What do we
have a weird relationship with? And I didn't know.
Well, I just assumed.
No.
You know why I thought it was weird? Because you'd never been here before, and Adam is like a regular. That's an understatement. So you had never come here.
No.
So what's that about? That's not a judgment of us, right?
I can't stand you guys. No, it's not that. It's no, my schedule is fucked up. I'm a cook, so I work when other people play, and this is usually an issue. Like, I work on Fridays. I work on Saturdays.
Where do you? Can we ask where you work?
Yeah.
We don't have to. If you don't want to say it.
No, it's cool. I used to crow about it. I worked for Wolfgang Puck Catering until about a month ago, and I now work at the USC Radisson. There's an upscale sports bar there called McKay's.
Wait, USC meaning University
Guess
of Southern
Harmontown
California?
Stay at the USC Radisson.
Yes. They do many things well. I don't think they should be managing hotels.
Yeah, it seems weird. That's a weird amalgam of higher education and
luxury
comfort.
Are you a cook, a chef? Have you studied?
Technically, I'm a cook. You're not a chef unless you manage, you know, a staff.
Right.
Technically, chefs don't really do a whole lot of cooking as a result, but go on.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever caught Adam Goldberg wearing?
He should probably be asking me that question. Honestly.
All right. What's the weirdest thing you've been caught wearing by Adam Goldberg? You brought it up, Anastasia.
I assume that's why I was here. Okay.
No, you are here purely to embarrass Adam Goldberg, in my opinion. We went.
All right.
It's a good story.
No, what was it? Yeah, what?
All right. At the risk of I don't know. I'm just starting to feel kind of naked right now. So give me a moment. Give me a moment.
Do you want me to let me throw?
I haven't ingested enough booze to be social right now. Or
pour a drink, Dan. Give the guy a drink.
Do you drink vodka? Do you want vodka?
Oh, sure. Dude, after
and also
today,
there's
people. After today, I could use a drink. Today was fucked up. I used it.
You haven't been here to the show before, but I put a Sharpie pen up my butt once. Like, and I'm not recently. I'm getting your ice, but I just mean like the bar is low as far as like human dignity. Like it doesn't. You don't need to.
And yeah. Don't stick your finger in that cup. I'm good.
Oh, because you're a cook, you know that I'm in the red zone with my bacteria.
No, you just talked about your
butt. No.
I can get you a fresh cup and...
It's cool. I've seen
I know
worse.
How cooks are.
I've dealt with worse. Don't worry about it.
Here's your ice cup.
Thank you.
Spencer. Wow. Dan Porter is 7 ounces of vodka.
Over my finger. All right, but there must be an embarrassing thing I could tell you to put you at ease.
Okay, it's not really embarrassing, at least not to me, but it was probably so for Adam. Anyway, I'm kind of hesitant to call this a kink. It's not really a kink. It's not really a fetish.
This is no one.
Because I don't get off on it. That's the thing. But
I may.
I can't believe you don't come here every week. This is your home. This is where you belong.
I'm starting to feel that way now. No. I'm glad. Okay, so I've been into, I guess you, well, okay, Zentai for a while. Some of you might already know what that is.
Wait, what?
Really? Oh my God.
What Sentai?
Zentai. Oh. Yes.
Is that related to hentai?
No, it's not. Okay. There are a lot of sound alike words in Japanese. This is.
I'll say. Clean up your act, Asians. You've been warned.
I'm like, are you actually pointing at any?
Hey, maybe. Okay. Who knows? Can't throw a cat without hitting one on this side of town.
Misha, you here? Misha?
Hey, Misha. It's Misha. Oh, shit, I miss Misha. Anyways, what is it?
All right, so they're basically head-to-toe spandex suits.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, that's a cousin of... I okay.
I know, yeah. You
want to come on the Harmontown tour, too?
If I can get off work for long enough, I would love to. That's the thing. I can't. I'm like...
Whatever they're paying, we'll double it.
What's that?
Whatever they're paying you, we'll double it.
I might have to take you up on that offer.
Okay, I didn't think it was going to go that well. That's
No, seriously. I'm like, I work in a restaurant where they're trying to make magic with 7 people.
Now, when you put on these little spandexy suits, do you go about town? You wander around in the...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Wait, under your clothes or just like you mean like...
Not well, yeah, I'm wearing clothes over them. But yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
that's your little secret. You've got a little sexy spandexy outfit on.
It's not really a secret if your head is covered.
Yeah, it's over your face.
Oh. Yes. Wait,
so do you rob banks?
No, actually.
Wait, you go out of the house in a full spandex head-to-toe suit.
I do.
And hit kookaroo and...
Just walk around.
Just because I feel like it.
Oh, yeah, cool. Just go about your business.
Pretty much.
That's awesome. And what's the reaction to people that you run into?
Strangely enough, as long as I don't make a huge deal about it, no one else does either. There are occasionally, I don't know, there is occasionally genuine alarm. Like, occasionally.
Ninja!
Like, I remember ordering, a couple weeks ago, I ordered a pumpkin spice latte from the Starbucks, the Target.
Wait, so you go, it's not just a stroll around the block, like, you go,
yes.
Okay, you go
I,
in.
Are
you,
I have are
you
shit wearing to do, I
else?
Run air.
Are you wearing anything else, or just the head-to-toe spandex?
Well, this is a mesh suit, so I have to wear shit under it. I mean, over it.
It's mesh?
Yes.
Okay, so you got
I can
some,
see through it.
You got some knickers on underneath it. Something. Fill me in here, Anastasia. This is new.
I'm not... Okay.
Okay, so you're dressed up like...
I didn't mention it. I mean, I was like, I'm not going there, but...
So you went to Starbucks and...
Yeah, I'm not answering
I got
that.
Some serious Googling to do tonight.
But I wear clothes... clouds over it, so I'm
it's,
not like I'm
it's
not just
A-N-A-S-T-A.
Well, yeah, how what is it really? I want to know what it's called, because the amazing thing about the I love the internet, like it you encounter people now, you get to go, there's going to be like 500 people that listen to you, and like 40 of them are going to go, wait, me too. And like, what, how do I, like, there's a thing, there's a subreddit. So
probably.
What?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
What did you say it's called?
Zentai.
And it's, look at the Z?
Yes.
And you're saying it's not necessarily a sexual thing for
not
you.
Not for me. It seems to be for
it's
a lot
kinda
of
like,
people, but it's
like comfort, like maybe like a
more or less.
What's the fulfillment of that for you? Like, what is that? What itch does that scratch?
You put it that way. It's basically it's either a meditative thing for me, or it's I used to call them hug suits, because I'm like, if I'm feeling like shit, I don't know, just.
Right.
Feeling tightly enclosed.
Like enclosed, yeah. There's a thing. I have a big nylon fetish. You haven't been here. Welcome aboard.
So you're familiar with encasement?
Yes, encasement. Okay. Yes. Sorry, did
it's,
I call
it's,
it? Enclosure?
It's related.
Yes, it's like if you
Spencer, take five.
if you take nylon. If you take nylon fetishry to yeah, it's there's people who want the whole body encased in it. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was watching Batman, and I'm pretty convinced that Yvonne Craig, who played the Batgirl in the Adam West Batman series, I'm pretty sure she has everything to do with everything for me, because she had this red wig and she was like,
that's
she looked
hot,
good, and everyone on that show was wearing nylon something or spandex something, and there was also a lot of like oh, Batman, I've tied you to Robin and Batgirl again, I'm gonna put you in this sausage machine, and you're gonna have to. I bet you'll never get out, no matter how hard you wriggle. And like, I remember being a really little kid and like watching Batman and like putting myself in between a bunch of pillows and like kind of wriggling around and feeling the comfort. And then I saw that Temple Grandin movie on HBO, yeah, where she made herself a squeeze machine.
Yes.
I
know about this.
Oh, dude, that Temple Grandin movie is fucking badass. Like, it's amazing. Everyone has to see it. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Period. Not as good as Batman Rising. So, Batman, there's a new squeeze machine. I was wondering what it would break first. Your spirit... or your buddy. All right, sorry.
So have we cured you of Zentai yet, Anastasia?
No.
But like the idea of like tight, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think there's like people who like, oh, I like to wear tube socks, like really tight, like,
oh,
people,
yeah,
like I want things squeezing me and putting pressure on me, like relaxes you.
It's weird, but it does.
I think, yeah. I'm not saying it to be glib or right, but I feel like suits for me, there's a kind of an encasement kind of thing. Like, I love the feeling of being like wrapped up in a suit. It's like pajamas, and it's like, it's kind of like armor in a way. I feel very safe and secure in a suit.
Well, they fit you pretty well, actually. Don't take that the wrong way.
All right.
My pants just leveled up. Trying to bring Spencer back into this, man. I'm just...
All right.
I've been told I have that effect.
All right, what does Adam eat by default?
What's on his side of the fridge?
Yeah, yeah. No. What's on the coffee table? Like just empty blank wrappers. What? Like what does he always just eat?
Oh God. I can't even answer this one, if only because
it's wood. And you're afraid he'll be outed as like some kind of
no.
All right,
he eats nothing but neighbors.
This is like, I mean, that's like, we got Adam Goldberg's roommate up here. Yeah. I don't know. I don't.
She's
wanna...
being very good about it. She's being more self-revelatory than Adam.
No, that's great.
Yeah, it's very noble of you.
But also, I want, like, what does he do? There's got to be something. Like, what one thing? What can we
come over if you want?
That's never gonna happen, Adam.
should I bring Eric Idle over? And no, I just want, we want to tease him about one thing, like one specific thing. Does he have like a porcelain bulldog that sits on his desk? Or
hey, Skyfall, take it easy.
Is he like, what does he, what does he watch? What's his favorite?
I'm actually the weirder one here. I'm just.
That's almost impossible.
I mean, I'm for God's sake, I'm a cook and I hardly ever cook. So whatever food is in the fridge is usually his. He eats, at this point, he eats a much more varied diet than I do. I'm like, I subsist on whatever leftovers I can get from the restaurant, despite being able to afford more than that. I just don't have time.
Goldberg continues to elude us.
I know.
He's normal. Oh, my God.
We're going to get you.
He's not normal.
We're going to get you, Goldberg.
We're going to bring his mother up next week, and she's going to be like, I don't know. I felt something down there, and then it was just I heard a skateboard, and he was gone. God damn it. I want D. Like, is he Soviet? What does he want from us? All right. Well, anything. I'm about to say this. Anything you want to plug while you're up here? You get to. You've been very gracious and very revelatory. Anything
well,
you want to say to America? Not America. That's presumptuous. Anything you want to say to the
2,000 people who listen to the show?
350.
Well, that would have been my college radio DJ days.
Tell your dad you're sorry you didn't call him on Father's Day. Anything.
Oh, God. God.
I put you on the spot. I'm a bad interviewer.
Hardly. It's just it's something I don't really have an answer to. I'm like, anything I want America to know?
Yeah. I mean, if you had needs, you couldn't live with Adam Goldberg. That was mean. I go where the you know the pellet gives me the honey. You know, I find that making fun of Adam gets me laughs. So,
do you owe him money? Does he have something on you? Is there some sort of weird blackmail thing going on right now?
Besides what I told you about, and now everyone else knows about, not really.
And Starbucks, you just went into Starbucks. You don't care.
No, not just Starbucks. The hardware store.
Have you and Adam ever made out?
No.
No. Oh, damn.
Will they?
Oh,
will
I know
they?
You were entertaining thoughts at one point.
Yeah.
You can.
Oh, here we go.
Does he play video games? Does he?
Yeah, but how is that strange?
I just want to details. Does he throw knives at a board? Like.
He's home all day. I'm like the perfect roommate because I'm never home.
All right.
Well, thanks, Adam. That was fascinating.
Anastasia. Thank you so much for coming up and bearing your humanity to us.
And resurrecting Adam's character on this show once again.
Oh, you're
yeah,
really welcome.
Once you have eyes in. Okay, God damn it, we really fucked up. We went too long.
It's too late.
No problem. There's
all right,
where
Spencer,
that came from.
Spencer.
Hunter. All right, Spencer.
Dungeons and Dragons speed round.
Time for a Dungeons and Dragons quickie. It's a special segment where we play Dungeons and Dragons in 10 minutes and get the fuck out of here. Sorry.
Dungeons and Dragons introduction segment. After tussling with a gelatinous cube in a pit, our heroes came upon a horrendous scene: a vicious barbarian raid on the White Skull Knoll village. It was here that Sharpie's father, Lord Mango Butzalot, revealed himself, hurtling headlong at the party. Swords and spells flew as the forces clashed, but when the dust settled, the barbarian lord lies sleeping on the floor, suffering from a face full of magic. There our adventurers stand in the wreckage of the White Skull camp as dawn breaks on the grassy hills of the Butts Peninsula. So if you recall, you're standing in the wreckage of this Knoll village, right? And he you knocked him out.
Yeah, my
you
dad
were like gonna draw a dick
violent
on his head or something.
And we took him out systematically, yeah. And now he's sleeping it off.
And you're thinking about taking his anchor. I remember
right.
That.
And we leveled
up.
Sorry,
he was wielding an anchor, which is
yeah.
Awesome.
Go. Speed round.
Level 3.
I got a new thing called Power Attack. I'm excited about that.
Power Attack.
I didn't say I want a Power Attack. are you describing Power Attack?
I would have if you didn't stop me.
I I thought just by mentioning it, I was going to kill the Sharpie butts a lot by accident. Please tell me.
Fine. The moment's gone. We'll come back to it.
Oh, shit.
As Lord Butzalot sleeps on the floor, you notice several barbarian warriors suddenly creep out of hiding.
Oh, shit. They power attack!
They seem weary.
Oh, wait. McGathy's... Frimmin Summonen's...
Cinnamon Mustache.
Cinnamon Mustache. sorry, Aaron. Can you play your character?
Sure.
Speed come up
I'm
here.
Sorry, I...
Aaron McGathy, everybody. As Mulray and Sedana, which Vache Panos tells me Sedana is Armenian for Satan. For real.
Well, I love cinnamon mustache.
All right, sorry. So
is that where somebody shits in your chest?
There's barbarians coming out of the bushes.
They seem weary and relieved. Oh. They approach you, calling out, "Hey, hey,
hey!
Easy with the magic."
Hey, man, only using as much as I have to.
Thanks for knocking out our war chief. He gets kind of crazy, you know, when he's raging.
Hey, listen.
How's it going?
You should have been to dinner on Tuesday nights. I'm his son. Sharpie Butzalot. Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Levi Leonard. We've actually met before.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ages past.
Well, I was a little drunk. So you guys.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the barbarians.
Yeah.
So you're. I came to stop you because you're headed for the. You're headed to talk to the dwarves, right?
No, see, that was just a clever ruse to throw them off our trail. We really came here to this gnoll village to wipe it out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The plot thickens.
God damn it. I can't keep up with this shit. And I also have to confess, I've never read a single thing out of any of these. Never, ever. Like, sometimes we're up against the wall and I'll go like, snake handler.
You want to cast snake handler?
Yeah. I get lucky. But we're level 3 now, so I'm going to try to...
But these are ostensibly people who were on their side, because these are friends of your sleeping father, right?
These are my peeps.
Yeah, those are your peeps.
Ostensibly.
I ask these barbarians, as a barbarian myself, I greet them with my with the old barbarian handshake.
All right. For the podcast listeners, Jeff is giving a very elaborate handshake.
Right.
Yeah. For the podcast listeners wrestling. Specifically, you the first person on the left holds their hands together as if in prayer. The other person does the same and holds their hands 90 degrees.
Right.
And they bisect each other's fingers and then look through each other's hands and chuckle.
Yeah, it's a goodie.
No. Yes, we did expect you. You see, Yurch, he was here before. He told us you'd be coming.
Aha! Well, we're here.
Again, thank you for killing, or not killing our barbarian lord. Please don't loot his body. It's important to us.
So, hey, it couldn't be more important to me. I mean, he came me.
Now, when he wakes up, is that what do we? How do we get him on our side? Will he wake up in a better mood?
Yeah. He was raging, you know.
Oh, so he was just drunk.
Yeah.
He was drunk.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around, and I'm so sorry. I
ask questions. It's fine. Nice.
You guys weren't headed towards any dwarves at all?
No, you see, the dwarves are our enemies, but that was not the intention of this mission.
Oh, that's what you told everyone you were going to go do, and then you were going to go on this secret assassination mission.
We were really looking for something.
Well, what's going down with the dwarves? I'm distressed by all this talk. I mean, forever, human and dwarf have been inextricably bound by humanoidness.
I have no problems with dwarves per se, but the Hammerbeard tribe themselves, they're very warlike. They're martial. They're not normal dwarves. They've been trying to overtake this plains for years.
Are you saying they're bad dwarves?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Take your word for it.
No, you said you were here to find something. What were you specifically here to find?
You see, that's actually classified. I think only Mango knows.
Let's wake him up.
Yep.
You want to wake him up?
I grab some water from a nearby well and splash it on his face.
You splash it on his face. He wakes up with a start.
What?
Sharpie! Sharpie, it's you! What are you doing here?
Happy Father's Day.
I want my cake.
What? If I'm... What are you doing here?
I came to visit you. I was out in the field, and I was trying to work up my mage powers, and I had an epiphany that I should come and atone with you.
Finally come to take a run at your old man, hey? That's very brave.
No, brah, no. Dad, I'm not going to take a run at you. You're a barbarian. I just wanted to be a wizard. Like, I came to take a run at your feelings.
Your words strike a chord and his face softens.
Oh.
He says, you know, back when I used to beat you, it was because I thought magic would make you weak. But now I realize magic is strength.
Hmm.
Magic is the universe. I shunned magic, but now I realize magic is power. It binds my tribe and crushes my enemies underfoot. And that's why I've been pursuing these fragments. Perhaps you've heard of them. They're called the Fragments of Power.
Don't we have one of those fragments?
I whisper to Sharpie. kind of an Abbott and Costello kind of...
I think we have two of them.
We got two of those fragments.
Dad, I think we have two of them.
You think?
Two fragments. Well, we had one and then...
Don't lie to your father, Sharpie.
Well, I just can't keep track. Dad, I'm an alcoholic. And often our adventures occur late in the evening when I've crossed a threshold.
Well, show them to me.
I pull out my dick and balls. And then I say, just kidding.
Yeah. Not those fragments.
We had two fragments, right? We had the one that we got.
The one that you had and the one you stole from Darkstar, yeah.
Yeah.
Aha.
I pull him out.
You whip him out. He inspects the dazzling crystals. He says, yes, yes, these will do nicely. And he takes them from
you. Well, Dad.
Do you want to... Okay, I'm sorry. He attempts to take them from you.
And I go, ow.
He just rolled the dice.
You're much quicker than him and pull the stones back. His face contorts with rage.
I jump in front of Sharpie and say, listen, we just met you and I know you're his father, but if you want what we've fought so hard to gain, we will exact a price for them.
Jesus.
He looks at you with a new understanding and then you see behind him approaching Yurch the Gnoll. He's slinking up. He's holding a haunch of meat, and he's munching on it.
A haunch of what?
Of meat.
A haunch of meat.
I ask him if he likes what he's eating.
Yes, yes. He does. On closer inspection, you realize it's the leg of a gnoll.
Ooh. I take an arrow, and I shoot it at his shoe, so it just hits the shoe into the ground, but not his foot.
The severed foot or his personal foot? The one he owned. Like.
His personal foot, but I don't hurt him. I just keep him like a bug that I'm taxiderming.
Spencer, did you give me power attack to use on Mulrain's Adana? Because I'm this close.
You guys make the action. I mean, okay, so you shoot at his foot, at his foot?
Yeah,
or near his foot.
Just to keep him.
It seems like the right thing to do.
Well, it does miss. He looks at you with anger. And
all right, everybody.
He approaches Mango without you guys talking. He approaches Mango, and they turn their backs to you and whisper to one another. You see him pull something out of his pocket. It looks kind of like your crystal, but it's a deep blood red. He hands it to him.
Dad, listen. You said that you have a newfound respect for magic. So I would hope that would be a entree into a newfound respect for your son's vocation and a newfound respect for the potential destruction that magic can cause. These two shards that we've uncovered, you know, we got them from shitty people who were corrupted by their power. And we just need to make sure. I'm all for gathering all of them to keep them out of the hands of the shitty. So let's not get all grabby.
He seems a bit calmed by your speech. You know, you always had a way to convince him sometimes.
What happens if you combine all these shards together? What is the force that creates?
You see, the fragments of power are but fragments of the tapestry of fate. You can imagine the universe as the reflection of the light. That light is magic. The light comes through the tapestry of fate and projects our reality. But these forged, they determine what the reality is. With the fragments in hand, one can determine whatever reality they wish and will it into being.
Ooh. We can change the tapestry with the shards?
With the fragments of power, you are the tapestry.
Ooh. Now, do we have three of the four or all four now?
You guys personally have two. One of them's the one you found, and one of them's a pretty large one that you purified from the Admiral Darkstar. You saw that red one, maybe.
So that's probably number three.
Yeah, he might have other ones he hasn't told you about. I mean,
I'll carry it because I'm very strong.
Which one?
The large one.
You'd have to ask Sharpie for that. He owns it right now.
Well, you can carry it.
Everybody cool.
I was just trying to help.
Yeah, that's fine.
I say that we combine these three. Look, Sharpie, I pull Sharpie and Moraine aside and say, like, here's the deal. Like, we don't know what's going to happen when all four of these are together and who's going to control them. But I say at least let's make sure that we, as good people, are involved when the four are united and we can cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's unite these three and then go after the fourth one together.
Right, but first we got to purify this red one. Dad, you know, your crystal's, your shard's red. I don't think it's supposed to be.
What do you know of these stones? Have you studied them?
Well, I got some hands-on experience. I've taken two of them, and I think I purified one of them. I was, again, very drunk. I'm not coming to you as a proud man, Dad. I'm coming to you as a guy with two shards. And I'm saying yours is red, and I think that, you know, when they're different colors, they should be purified. And I...
Nanu, Nanu.
Oh, okay, all right. All right, take it easy. If I've learned one thing on this adventure, different colors should be purified. Can I try to purify your red crystal, Dad?
I don't know what this purification process might do. Do you know what this is?
Well, it ain't gonna make them less magical.
Do you know that?
Yes.
You say reasonably unconvincingly. Oh, you convince him.
Climactic and unclimactic at the same time. Oh, yeah, you fucking nailed it. Try to go. But you know, you fucking did it.
That's how it goes. He hands you the red crystal.
Did I purify the last one?
Yeah, but you don't know what that means. I mean, you haven't like done tests on an unpurified versus a purified.
No, but can I do, what did I do last time to remember when we got
you touched them together and one of them turned from like dark colored to like bright dazzling.
Oh, okay.
That's really all you know.
I turn my back and I go, Om Shabai, Om Nadwai, Om Nadwai. But I just put the three together.
Is that from Temple of Doom?
No, it's from gibberish.
Okay.
You notice the red one glows and it actually turns the larger one red.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit. Ooh. All right, well, let's just hope that red is good. Let's commit to this. Maybe red's good.
Doesn't sound good.
May I use Alchemist's Fire to examine the color of the stones?
Alchemist's Fire is a magical bag containing reagents that, when exposed to air, burst into flame. It's essentially an incendiary device.
All right, sorry.
Why don't you shoot more arrows at people's feet?
Why did you do that? Did you think he was going to eat a chicken leg
with the fire
against us?
Knows she has arrows and she keeps shooting them all the time at people.
No, so I thought he was going to run away, so I just wanted to keep him still. I'm sorry.
No, you're
adventure.
Yeah, well, show don't tell.
Mango calls. Well, what's going on? You took my thing.
I was just doing a thing. So what happened?
The red
one turned another one red?
Yeah.
So we have one purified one and two red ones?
Yes.
So I think it's probably dangerous to combine all three of these together, right?
It might very well be.
I said we find the fourth one and maybe...
There might very well be more than four.
Can I ranger for the fourth one?
Ranger. You range unsuccessfully. I'm sorry, you guys.
I'm sorry.
I throw one of my seven knives at the moon. It can't hurt to try.
All right. Dad.
Yes.
What would you think about taking these things to someone that would know better than us, you know, what their potential and dangers are?
You want to know what their potential dangers are? Check this out.
Zip.
He grabs his red crystal from your hand, and he swallows it.
What?
Oh, okay.
Nothing happens. Nothing happens. This is true power.
All right.
Swallow your red one then.
This is why I left home.
I never said he was sane. He might be crazy.
Dad, so what? Have you? Is that the first time you've ever done that?
No. This is my third.
You've swallowed.
Wait, second one's the hardest.
Oh, so he's got one more inside him already.
Two more.
You got two more.
This is the third one he swallowed. So, Dad, what can you do having swallowed this?
Soon you'll see.
Are we supposed to cut him open and get those things?
That's a lot. How much do you?
He
care?
Presents his belly.
He presents his belly.
That's a joke.
Could I use my arrow to do surgery that's painless and then?
Yeah, totally. That's I don't. What's your surgery rating?
That's heal skill.
Heal skill?
I think you're like a +9 to heal.
Dad, I'm really taken aback by your behavior.
I'm not surprised. You know nothing of the fragments. You know nothing of the tapestry. You know nothing of true magic.
Can we get the Fellowship of the Nerds up here to help us out and tell us what to do?
Yeah, no, I know a corruptive magic when I see it. But he's not trying to go for my fragments, right?
No,
I still have my two?
Not yet, although he does occasionally eye them. Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I've seen this before.
Sharpie, swallow yours, too, and then you'll be his equal. It'll be like atoning with him.
No, I'll just have two fucking unused fragments, and he'll kill me. I don't know what to do. This seems like a great...
Oh, he said detect magic.
Detect magic.
Well, you have two stones, one that's purified and one that's not purified. So why don't you detect magic, see which is stronger?
Ooh.
It's in the way that she uses it.
What does detect magic detect? Like
detect magic allows you to see auras emanating out of things that are magical. As you focus harder, those auras become more distinct and determine the nature of such magic.
Can I tell something that's more magical from something that's less magical?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Because this guy's a hero.
Listen to that guy.
I will detect cast detect magic on my dad's stomach. Yeah. And on the shards in my hand.
You sense several auras of magic. One's coming from the stone in your hand. One's coming from the larger stone that was it's been turned red now. A huge aura is emanating out of Lord Butts-a-Lot. And a sizable aura is emanating from Jeff's pocket.
Well, that we knew about.
You know what they say about a gnome with a big sword.
You notice Lord Butts-a-Lot is emanating a magic of intense chaos and anger and power.
Wait, I have magic too?
Yeah, you can't see it though, Sue. I mean, unless he says something to you, you have no idea this is happening.
All right, I'm going into panic mode. So what's next, Dad? Where were you headed next?
We take this fight to the dwarves. You see, the dwarves have fragments, too. They want ours. We need to wipe them out before they finish their war plans and decimate my lands.
Where do you think they are, the dwarves?
The mountains that they live in. You see, they're using... Dwarves like mountains.
Yeah, no, I know they do.
Do I know that I have an emanating thingy throbbing
in my... No, you don't.
Okay.
Sorry, Jeff.
That's right.
You can tell him.
Shit. Well, I mean, the show's way too late.
We're missing a piece.
What?
Sorry. There are pieces in existence. You have a few of them. So are we trying to find
the missing piece, or are we trying to figure out what's happening?
You're talking to his dad. He seems to want to get the ones from the dwarves, or maybe just kill the dwarves.
Let's unite forces and kill the dwarves and combine these shards together.
Yes, a barbarian after my own heart.
And two arrows. Two arrows at the dwarves.
Two arrows, well served.
Wait, did she just try to kill me?
No, at the dwarves.
Oh, you keep shooting arrows at everything.
You just said kill the dwarves, and I yes-anded you and said, yeah, let's kill the dwarves.
Okay.
How do I please you? I say jump. It's a very good question. How many arrows high?
Okay. All right. I just once bitten, twice shy.
We've never gone this late. We have to find a place to stop the show. But I say
that you make a big proclamation to me, to Mulrain, and to Lord Butzalot about Peter Jackson is breaking up the Hobbit into three acts. I say you find a way to end this non-act break in a great flourish, in a way that you would end break up the Hobbit into one third.
Right.
As
I recall from the Lord of the Rings, the thing that one character did was, did you ever notice when it seems like a story is bad, that it actually turns out it's good? Because there'll be another story? And then the other guy was like, yeah, I guess you're right. And then they ended the movie. That was how but we can't do that here.
Sure,
we have more craftsmanship. I just did it and it didn't work. Yo.
We want to thank Spencer for being up here. Thank you, Spencer.
Come on.
Aaron McGathy, Mulrain Sedana. Thank you for being here.
Crystal shards. Crystal shards got power. Power going down to the hour. Got a fragment of this. Got a fragment of that. Fucked your mama's dog. Fucked your mama's cat. Fucked your mama in a gnome village. Fucked your mama and her pussy I pillaged. Fucked your mama with an axe. Fucked your mama with a hammer. Fucked your mama and made her start to stammer. She was like, oh, that's good. Fucked your mama with a sword made of wood. Fucked your mama in the high plains. Fucked your mama in the grains.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Sorry, little kind of a long one. But hey. You ever have a really big pizza? Sometimes the pizza's really big. It makes you sick the next day. It's all pizza.
Thank you so much for coming down to Nerd Melt Theater. Thank you for listening. I'm Jeff Davis, the Comptroller. Your mayor, Dan Harmon, one more time. I'd also like to thank Katie Levine, our audio recording, Zach McKeever on tech, Emily Gordon, our producer of the live show, Daniel Kramer, program director, Justin Marshall, podcast producer, Mo Fathelbap, on-site director, Jenny Fine, logo designer, Sherry Shaggett, web designer. Thank you so much for everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you for the fellowship of the nerds. Thank you, Anastasia, for coming up. Adam Goldberg, hit the showers. Thank you, Harmontown.
The colors purify colors. Thank you.